If you have your Bibles, we'll begin tonight in Psalm chapter 139. I say we'll start there because we don't really have a text to use as a launching pad. But we began looking at our church covenant, things that are found in our church covenant, a covenant that every member of this church has entered into, a covenant that every member of this church is bound to and bound to observe. We ended up with several things we wanted to touch base on concerning what we believe the church covenant being one of those things, and some of those things being found in the church covenant. We felt led last week, I believe it was, to begin looking at the covenant, touching base with all of these things, and eventually coming to a close. I guess the title of the last year of Sunday night messages has had to do with what we believe. What we believe. The church covenant begins with this paragraph. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. That's the opening paragraph of the church covenant. Maybe the wimpiest, by some people's estimation, of all the paragraphs in the church covenant, but I don't find it wimpy at all, because I find it is the basis, and it touches bases about what the church covenant is all about. It deals with some important things that we say we believe as a church. We believe we have been led by the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of God Almighty. Jesus Christ declared that you must be born again. And when Nicodemus questioned what he meant by that, Jesus spoke of being born from above. Being born from above, that's what the new birth is all about. It's being born again spiritually. We try not to talk anybody into anything. We try not to persuade anybody to join this church. We try not to convince anybody that they're saved or they're not saved. We preach the gospel, and we believe in preaching the gospel, and we leave the saving of souls to God. We leave the saving of souls to the Holy Spirit of God. And we try to patiently wait to see if the Holy Spirit is going to work and when the Holy Spirit is going to work. We believe salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. We believe, having received Jesus Christ as our Savior, as a work of the Holy Spirit, that what we were next required to do was make a profession of faith. Once saved, scriptures direct us to profess that salvation, to publicly declare, to publicly go on record as being saved, as being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having received the Lord as our Savior through the work of the Holy Spirit, and having made a profession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were then baptized and we submitted ourselves to baptism. And we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the singular name of the Godhead, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. There are four requirements for scriptural baptism. We believe it is always necessary to require those four requirements. Any baptism that is missing or omits one of those, we would consider as unsound or unscriptural baptism, and we would consider one not fitted to the membership of this church until that was set in order. We also believe in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We kind of threw that in last week as a bonus. But as you look at the Lord's Supper being a church ordinance, you can find four requirements taught in Scripture for the proper observance of the Lord's Supper. And if any of those elements are missing, we believe you're not observing the Lord's Supper, but you're basically wasting your time. So we believe we have been worked upon by the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus as our Savior. We have made a public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have been brought together, we, as an assembly, we, as a group of those who have satisfied these first three considerations tonight. We who have received Christ, made a profession of faith, and who have been scripturally baptized, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant one with another as one body in Christ. We do now in the presence of God. I had you turn here to Psalm 139, because we have this wonderful psalm that speaks about where God is. Speaks of how that God sees everything. Speaks of how God is everywhere. Speaks of how God is witness to all of our actions. And we couldn't, the psalm implies it, we couldn't, if we wanted to, hide from God. He's witness to everything. We believe God is witness to our receiving Him as our Savior, professing Him as our Lord and Savior, being scripturally baptized. We believe He is witness, was witness, continues to be a witness to our entering in to this covenant relationship, one with another. Verse number 7 of Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And in chapter 34 of the Psalm, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The Lord is everywhere. The Lord can't be hidden from. He sees everything and everyone, but his eyes are specially upon the righteous. His eyes are upon us to see, to protect, to bless, to help, to warn, to call, to work. His eyes are upon the righteous. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Paul writing to the believers in the church at Rome says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul says that people all over the world had heard about the Lord's true church at Rome. It wasn't obviously started by the Apostle Paul. It started sometime before Paul was able to make it to Rome. But they were known throughout all the world. The whole world could be called to bear witness to this church. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto thee. Paul calls God as witness. He calls God to be a witness to his sincerity, to the truthfulness of what he was saying to this church. God is my witness. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. You'll find several references, I believe, in this passage to individuals being called to bear witness. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. For yourselves, the believers in the church at Thessalonica, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul calls the Thessalonians to witness. He speaks of his own witness. He speaks of God again being called to be witness. He did everything he did, and he taught God's people to do everything they did, considering God is and God as witness. And we believe that when we entered into this covenant relationship amongst ourselves, that God was witness to that. The covenant also states we believe that angels were witness to that. And he also states in the covenant that the membership of the church that's being spoken of, each member of that church is called to be witness. This makes things pretty serious to me. The Lord saved me. The Lord caused me to make a public profession of that salvation. The Lord brought me to scriptural baptism. And in time, the Lord brought me to become a member of this church. And when I became a member of this church, I entered into covenant, one with another, with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is the case with everybody here whose name's on that paper back there that speaks of yourself being a member. You have been saved. You have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been scripturally baptized. You have been added to Faith Baptist Church of Wauseon. You and I, we have entered into covenant one with another with God as witness. With God as witness. So what does God think about this thing? What does God think about us? What is God's witness? What is God's consideration of our faithfulness to these promises and these pledges that we have made one to another? We state we believe that angels our witness. As we are a covenanted people, God was witness. We call God as witness. And we believe in the witness of angels. The Bible speaks about the witness of angels. The Bible speaks about the angels desiring to look into the things of God, that the angels desire to look into the redeemed. And the Lord's dealing with the redeemed. The Bible tells us we're surrounded by a great army, a great number of angels. When we meet together as a church, it is very likely, most likely, that we're amongst angels unaware, who bear witness to everything that is said and done here. I don't believe all the angels of heaven watch everything we do. I think there's a whole lot of angels who got more important things to do. These special angelic beings that Isaiah saw flying around the throne of God, they flew around and fluttered their wings and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They didn't cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is old so-and-so down there on earth." Or, "Holy, holy, holy is that church there in Wauseon, Ohio." They were consumed with crying out holiness to God. And so there's a lot of angels that have other tasks. And not every angel is concerned with us. But we do believe the scripture plainly to teach that there are angels assigned as witness to these things. This church was organized in 1963. We all know the circumstance, having just come through the church's 60th anniversary. We have one person who was added at the beginning, one charter member. Most everybody else has been added as the church has gone down the road of life. Whenever you were added, and whenever you officially became a member of Faith Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio, the angels were witness. So we believe that God is witness. We believe angels are witness to this covenant we've entered into. But we also believe we, each other, we serve as witness. I have witnessed the fact that you are a member of Faith Baptist Church. You have witnessed the fact that I am a member of Faith Baptist Church. We speak and bear witness to everybody's membership who is a member of this church. And that's important. Don't belittle that. This covenant we've entered into, we have entered into with each other as witness. Now, what are we being in relationship to this covenant, in relationship to this church? What kind of a witness, what kind of a testimony are we being? So, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, first and foremost, angels also, and this assembly, every other member of this church. We do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant. We solemnly and joyfully. The joyful part is easy to understand. It may be an oversimplification, and I will grant that it is probably an oversimplification, but to do something joyfully to me means we do it willingly. We do it willingly. Nobody is forced. Nobody is coerced. Nobody is pressured. Nobody is made to become a member of Faith Baptist Church. We leave that, as I said earlier, to the Holy Spirit to do His business. Becoming a member of Faith Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio, is something that a person must do willingly. They must do it joyfully. They must do it because they want to, with not any thought at all towards pleasing anyone else. If we're going to consider pleasing somebody when it comes to being a member of this church, the only one who qualifies is Jesus Christ. He's the only one we ought to consider joining this church to please, because it's His body. He shed His blood for her. One day He's going to claim her as His bride. But we joyfully, we willingly enter into covenant one with another. But don't overlook the word solemnly. Solemnly means formally or seriously. Formally or seriously. We do now, in the presence of God, angels in this assembly, willingly enter into this covenant. We have willingly, voluntarily, joyfully entered into this covenant. But we also do it solemnly. We also do it seriously. We also do it formally. It should not be entered into lightly. It's like marriage. It shouldn't be entered into lightly or irreverently, and all the things that the old vows have to say about taking wedding and marriage serious. We ought to take being a church member serious. And we ought to enter into being a church member seriously. We do now, in the presence of God, angels in this assembly, solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant. Enter into covenant. The word covenant means a solemn agreement of fellowship and faith. A solemn agreement of fellowship and faith. We have agreed amongst ourselves, we have agreed one to another to do some things, to believe some things, to be some things. And once we have entered into this covenant relationship one with another in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't change. The only thing that can change the fact that we have agreed to do, to believe, and to be some things in the church covenant, the only thing that can alter that is by our failing or our ceasing to be a member. The church isn't a social club. The church is not something you can agree to certain things and join it and then think, when I get down the road a few years, I'm going to forget all that stuff. I'll agree to it now. I'll dot the I's and cross the T's and etc. But I'll believe differently. I'll practice differently. You can't do that. You can't do that and be faithful to this covenant relationship. We have pledged and we have promised. I kind of want to say, I don't think it's too off base. We have entered into contract with one another. We have entered into a solemn agreement of fellowship and faith to do some things. As you look through the covenant, you can see the things that you've agreed to do, I've agreed to do. Included in this covenant is we have solemnly agreed to believe some things. We don't come into the Lord's church with our own beliefs. We come into the Lord's church and we accept her beliefs. and commit ourselves to her beliefs. We enter into covenant one with another to be a certain kind of person, certain kind of being, certain kind of Christian. We solemnly agree to do, to believe, and to be. And time never changes that. Faith Baptist Church has been in existence now for 60 years. Some of you have been members of Faith Baptist Church for decades. And it matters not how many decades you've been a member. Your agreement when you became a member of this church, your covenant that you entered into with your brothers and sisters in Christ is still in force and goes unchanged. And we ought to take that serious. All things change, and we justify change because of that. But what this church believes, what the covenant states, never changes. Therefore, we should never change in regards to this covenant that we've entered into. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Verse 4 and 5, speaking about really the membership in one of the Lord's churches. How that the church is one body, but the church has many members. The church has many members, but those members make up one body. When you consider that, you see the weightiness of solemnly and joyfully entering into covenant. When you understand that God is witness, angels are witness, we bear witness to one another. If you consider that in light of the fact that Faith Baptist Church is one body. Not many bodies. I look out tonight and I see a room full of people. But I only see one church. I look out and I see many physical representation of bodies. But as far as the church is concerned, there's only one body here. He says here in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." The church is one. The church is one made out of many. Because we are one of many, that makes up the church singular. We are members one of another. We're connected. Like our physical bodies have many parts, but we're one and they're all connected and they all work in unison. So it is with the Lord's church. Church has many members, but there's only one body. And so we should solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant, remembering that we have a solemn agreement amongst us to do, to believe, to be. And don't ever forget, we're one body. We've pledged and promised some things to each other. And so the old saying, when a church member speaks up and says, "Oh, I'm only hurting myself," not so. If you're a member of one of the Lord's churches, You're members one of another. You're members of the many that make up one. A member of one of the Lord's churches cannot sin and have it not impact the whole or the body. It doesn't work that way. We're members one of another. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 21 says, "Unto God be glory in the church." There's only one kind of church you find in the New Testament. It's a local, visible assembly. And it's in the local, visible assembly that Ephesians 3:21 speaks of when it says, "Unto God be glory in the local church." This is where we who are many are made one. And as we're made one, God is glorified through Jesus Christ throughout all ages. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Jesus loved the local church so much so that he gave himself for her. He shed his blood for the local assembly of Christ. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Why did he do that? "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." He gave himself for his kind of a church to sanctify her, to wash her, to present her, to receive her one day, for her to make up that bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, for her to be holy and without blemish. So that means we need to take being a church member serious, because we are one in the same with each other. We're many individuals, but we make up one body in Christ. So this first paragraph says, "Having been led, as we believe by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ." That's the first paragraph. And this first paragraph lays out plainly and simply what the requirements are for anybody who would want to be a church member. Anybody who wants to be a church member, who wants to join Faith Baptist Church, must enter into this covenant relationship we have one with another, just as all of us did. And what is required is that they are saved. The work of the Spirit of God has been effectual upon them. They have publicly declared their salvation and gone on record as being saved, and they've been scripturally baptized, meeting the requirements laid forth in Scripture. Anybody without prejudice is welcome to be a member of Faith Baptist Church if they'll make a profession of faith, submit to scriptural baptism, and yield themselves to becoming part of this body according to the covenant of the Lord's church.